This is Rodney from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we explore manhood within Jesus Christ. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Sit back, enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Welcome to another episode, Q&A with Koloff, the Devil's Nightmare.
Today in studio with me, Robbie Dillmore, better known as, well, maybe not better known as, also known as, how about if I say that? Also known as, a.k.a. the Christian car guy. Robbie, welcome to the Q&A with Koloff.
I have listened to Q&A with Koloff, however many episodes they are, I think I've recorded every single one of them. So, you know, I've always wondered what it would be like to be on this to actually get to ask these questions. I've heard a lot of questions, and some guys were really experts at this stuff.
Well, and it dawned on me recently. I'm like, you know, as many shows, Q&A shows as you've recorded and or listened to working here in the studio, I'm like, hello, why have I never had Robbie on the Q&A show? So I'm glad this has worked out. But before we get to your questions, and not having a clue what you might ask, before we get there, let's make sure our listeners know who Robbie Dillmore is. Like, they're like, Christian car guy, what's all that mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, my father, like a lot of folks, you know, our father has a big impact on us. My father worked for Buick Motor Division when I was growing up as a kid, and I idolized him. And so I definitely knew I was going to be in the car business, you know, when I grew up. And he wanted me to be a car dealer. That was something, a picture that he had. I didn't ever know that I wanted to be a car dealer, but I wanted my dad to be proud of me. Mm. Okay. And I had some gifting as far as a salesman, and I had some other giftings that the Lord allowed me to do well in that industry. Certainly make a living and end up with my own dealership. But it certainly was bad on my heart, and Lord knew that. So he delivered me about 17 years ago, as far as I'm concerned, because I had nightmares forever afterwards about running car dealerships. It just wasn't, you know, it was good for my dad. It seems to be really good for my son. It was not good for me.
Pressure? Like too much pressure? What would you say? Out of curiosity.
Like, I was in the business of getting people to do stuff I knew wasn't what they needed to do.
Mm. Okay.
Like buying cars when they couldn't afford them.
Which is kind of what's given car, let's be honest, right? Kind of like giving car guys a bad rap or a bad name, right?
And then we had the factories that were putting pressure on us to do things we shouldn't be doing either.
Mm.
And so it was like a constant battle of how do I protect my heart and still try to help people, because what I really want to do is help people. Last thing I want to do is hurt people. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord eventually came to me and said, I want you to get on the radio and talk about what breaks your heart every day. And that was the calling to the Christian Car Guy show. That happened to me in prayer one night. I was praying about a lot of other stuff that didn't have to do with the Christian Car Guy. And all of a sudden, God shows up this prayer, says, this is what I want. And I'm like, God, I think you got the wrong guy here. Have you heard my voice? I mean, people have to go to college to learn how to talk on the radio. I don't know how to talk on the radio. We had quite the discussion. And afterwards, the next morning I woke up, I said, man, that had to be a bad dream. But I'd heard a pastor, actually our pastor once time, preach a sermon that if God calls you to do something, he'll swing the door wide open. So yeah. I thought, well, I don't know anybody. I don't have a radio show. You know, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I said, well, I know Stu Epperson. I'll go ask him when he tells me it's a crazy idea. That's my fleece. As soon as he says this is crazy, then I'll know that I don't have a radio show. So God must not be real. So I asked Stu to lunch. You can picture this scene. I tell Stu, man, God, I feel like God's calling me to do this thing called the Christian Car Guy Show. Gave me the name, gave me the logo, all that stuff. Gave me what I was supposed to talk about. Right. And Of course, Stu listens. He goes, Robbie, that's the best idea I've ever heard in my life. Oh, you ought to do it this. You ought to do it this Saturday. Let's get in there.
This Saturday.
Right, right. And so that Saturday, I show up to I don't know what I was thinking.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement. Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
But anyway, I show up the studio and you would expect Stu to be here, right? You would expect some help. Like, I've never done any radio in my life. I've called into a show or two, but I never have done a radio show. So I'm standing in the studio. There is nobody here but an old disc jockey that's the producer. And he's like, man, you must really like to talk on the radio. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, we got an hour-long live show. Now, I didn't break in by recording a show. I broke in like an hour-long live show.
Live.
And he's like, and we can't have any dead air, so you better be ready to talk for an hour. And I said, well, it's a call-in show. People are supposed to call me. Nobody's going to call you. They don't know who you are. And I am like, man, God, what have you done to me? So I, you know, they crack open the mic. I was terrified. If you could have seen me shaking, it was unbelievable because I was not a public speaker, didn't know anything. And God had given me this idea that, like, okay, it's a call-in show. Have you ever wondered, is it better to take the rate or take the rebate? Have you ever wondered, what's the best time of year to buy a car? What's the best time of the month to buy a car? You know, should I come at night? Should I come in the morning? You know, should I come on a Saturday? If you had questions like that, you call me at 866. Well, I had preempted Tony Evans, right?
Wow.
And in other words, Tony Evans was in that time slot as a weekend edition.
Right.
And so I had a huge audience. I didn't know at the time that, you know, they were listening, expecting Tony Evans, probably really upset about this crazy car person that's on the phone. But nonetheless, man, the phone just lit up. Like, and then once the people got on the phone, you know, because I talked on the phone as this car person forever.
Right. It's part of your job.
That show became easy that day. I never came back to the studio without being just totally prepared to talk for an hour if need be, if I didn't get any calls.
Right.
And then shortly thereafter, it might have been a month or two, Charles Stanley apparently, or Stu, you know, made reference to Charles Stanley, says, man, we got to get you on Sirius 161 radio. So within 6 months, not only did God kick the door wide open, I was on radio stations across the country. I was on Sirius 161. I was talking to New York and Mexico and all sorts of stuff. And I couldn't even believe how God expanded that show. Was crazy. So that's how I became the Christian car guy.
The Christian car guy. And 17 plus years later.
Yeah, here we are.
Here you are. And the Lord has utilized that more times than we could probably ever count and impacted many, many. Now, what are some of the... Now I know, like, is it on that show or you help like widows and stuff? I mean, you do
right. The Christian Car Guy later started the Jesus Labor Love, which is car repair labor for single moms, widows, and families in crisis. And that happened 2 or 3 years into that show. And so we have a 501c3. Where just like last week, we gave this pastor had been praying for a car for his single mom in his congregation. Somebody donated this car through the Jesus Labor Love. You know, they're right out here getting this car, and we get to see like that, or we repair cars literally almost every day for some mom somewhere in the country as people have given money to that ministry, and then we in turn use it to help them get their cars fixed. And so it's spectacular. We're just like the middleman. that there's a lot of people out there that are mechanics and whatever that want to help people, but they don't know where to find the people that really need help.
Right.
And then the radio show just allowed that to be kind
of
the middle.
Connection.
Right, right.
Yeah, make the connect A to B, right, or whatever, however you want to say that, right? Make that connection. So that's and you do, I mean, besides radio, I mean, that's just one of many shows that you do and things you do behind the scenes here at Truth Radio Network and helping produce, whether it's the Q&A with Koloff or the Man Up show or the podcast or so many other things, from preaching to a boot camp. You facilitate a boot camp where men come in for a weekend and you get to sow into and invest in and pour into men as well. Yeah.
Now, I was like you know, God keeps opening the doors and when you have, you know, the go ahead from him, you can go have fun. And it, a lot of people would say, man, see, God orchestrates the thing and you just kind of, like I loved when you were describing to somebody on Q&A that, you know, you leave room in your schedule for audibles.
Right.
Because Jesus always did.
Right.
Right. He never knew. It seemed like, you know, all of a sudden this woman's tugging at him, you know, or, you know,
who touched the hem of my garment?
Or some Russian, Roman soldier, not Russian, but a Roman soldier comes up and, you know, says, you need to come. You know, fix my guardian, you know, whatever. There's stuff like that. So I, you know, God's like that.
You said something before we get to your questions. I do want to get to your questions. You said something, and of course, you know, they've got a lot of men on the Man Up show. Of course, I've had women on there as well, and given their perspective on things as well, you know, perspective to men, women's perspective to men. But you said something that I think maybe any and every man has ever struggled with, and I'm certain you've heard them in your boot camps. I know I've heard them in our man camps, and that is, you said you wanted to, here's the quote, correct me if I'm wrong, I wanted to make my dad proud.
Right.
So even though you went off into the car, ventured off into the car business, not something you were necessarily passionate about or even really wanted to do, to get your dad's approval, in a sense, and make him proud, you did that. How many other guys, Robbie, do you think? Let me ask you this way. Have you not heard that? How many guys have you heard? I just wanted my dad's approval or just hear my dad say, I'm proud of you, son.
Right, right. It's a huge thing.
It's a big thing, isn't it?
It really, really is. And what's fascinating to me is because I wasn't, the car business wasn't my natural born thing. I never remember my dad saying, boy, you really are the car guy. You know,
Right.
However, you know, shortly before, maybe 4 or 5 years before he died, he saw what was happening in my ministry. And he was like, man, son, I can't be more proud of you, because once I started doing what God had for me, right, it was a completely different thing.
Yeah. And I want to say to all the parents out there listening, I think it's critical or important that I get it. You want your son, you know, you like, for me, if I had a son, right, I had all girls. But, you know, I would have anticipated or would have pushed him probably towards football, like me,
right,
towards weightlifting, bodybuilding, or whatever. But it may not, he may have wanted to go into theater. I don't know, you know, whatever, right? And so how many times do we try to vicariously live through our children, maybe a dream that wasn't fulfilled in our own life, that we try to push our children towards doing? And in that sense, the dream being fulfilled by vicariously living through them, when that is not the approach, in my view, that we should be taking. That when it comes to our children, we should look at what their gifts and their talents and their skills are, and then encouraging them to follow and pursue that, or what they're passionate about, right? Encouraging them to
their anointing. You find out where they, you know, are anointed, and then you help encourage them in that anointing,
right,
whatever that may be.
Right.
That's great word. Absolutely.
Wow. That's good. So there's a little bonus for the Q&A with Koloff show today. We didn't anticipate that, but those of you who are parents out there, really consider and or maybe even reconsider, you know, or evaluate your children's gifts and talents, skills and abilities, and encourage him to go down that path. So there's a little bonus there for you. All right, let's transition here.
I've been waiting for this for 2 years.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Here we go. All right, Robbie, question number one for the Russian Nightmare.
Since I don't know much about wrestling, I've learned, you know, quite a bit over the last 2 years, you know, that obviously there was some type of an agreement within the wrestlers. This was entertainment, and this is what we're going to kind of do, and this is how the match is going to go. And you guys had a way you did things that was, you know, to hopefully sell the audience on the fact that you were the bad guy and he was the good guy, and there was this bad blood when necessarily there may or may not have been anything, but just an, you know, this is
best of friends,
right? It's a show, right? You know, it's what was going on,
right?
But I'm wondering, so you're out there and you're doing your thing with whatever wrestler at whatever point in time, and all of a sudden you can tell it's on. In other words, I've done something to get this guy, and now we are wrestling. This is real. Like, we went from a stage of like, okay, this is whatever, to now, okay, it's really on, and this guy is wrestling me.
In our vernacular, in our terminology, it would be it went from a work to a shoot.
Okay.
It went from being a work to a shoot. Now, fortunately for me, maybe because I was 285 and jacked up and bigger than most of the other guys, not every guy, but most of the other guys, fortunately, I never really, that I recall, honestly, had anyone ever shoot on me. However, there were some other opportunities where what we would call, I threw a what would be termed a potato, meaning I might want to punch the guy in the nose, and he really did get hit in the nose. Now, it wasn't intentional,
right?
But he really got hit in the nose. We call that a tater for short, or a potato.
Right.
And with that, there was equal retribution, or you might say a receipt coming in our terminology, or at least the guy had the right to give a receipt.
Right,
in
right,
other words,
right.
Payback, right? For that tater.
Right.
And so that did occasionally happen in a match or two or three of mine where I was maybe a little more stiff than I should have been or laid something in a little harder than maybe they wanted me or anticipated I would lay it in. And then maybe in return, give something, a receipt in return that was just as snug, you might say, or just as stiff. All that to say, there for sure are stories of guys in the business that totally went from a work to a shoot. One name that comes to mind is a guy named Lou Thesz, who is legendary in professional wrestling for like almost seven decades, I think. He actually, his last match, I think, was in his 80s in Japan. Lou Thesz, and he was multiple-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and he was the real deal. I mean, a lot of the guys in the early years, Robbie, came from amateur wrestling backgrounds.
Right.
So they knew how to tie you up into a pretzel if they wanted to, okay? But it's a work, so they didn't. But yeah, there were times and stories I heard that I didn't necessarily witness, but even in dressing rooms, guys got so mad out in the ring that they got into a fisticuff or took it out on each other in the dressing room. My first partner, Ivan Koloff, had a horseshoe on his neck. Okay, a horseshoe. You're like, what? Like a tattoo? Nope. They were flying overseas, so they were over the pond, as they say, over the ocean. And him and a guy named the Iron Sheik. Sheiky Cosgrove.
Heard
of the Iron Sheik. Well, they got into a fight on the plane over the ocean, and Sheik bit Ivan on the neck, drew blood.
Obviously, he left his car.
No tickets sold on that one, other than the other patrons on the flight and the rest of the boys, as we call them, but left a permanent. Like a half circle, or you know, teeth mark.
I'm getting you. I'm with you.
Mark on Ivan's neck that became a story for the rest of his life. I remember one of the first times I met him, I'm like, Ivan, what's that from? How'd you get that? What's that from? And he told me the story how the Iron Sheik had gotten a big fisticuff on the plane and overseas, mid-ocean.
Mike Tyson in the neck, yeah.
Yeah, bite off the ear, right? And somebody tried to bite off somebody's ear or something. Anyway, so that did happen. That did happen. Fortunately, it never happened for me as far as like going from a work to a shoot.
I've never heard that term. So now I definitely have learned something. Yeah. But one of my favorite ever Q&A with Kolos, I forget what the question was, but all I remember is you were in this chain match, as I recall, with Magnum TA. And somehow or another, he got the chain wrapped around his neck, and you threw him over the chain.
Over the top rope. Sting.
It was Sting that you were, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and he was going, and he was literally choking to death, and you were like, man, he's really selling this thing, and he was trying to tap out, and he was scared, like, this is it, man, I could pass out. Right. Did that ever happen to you? Did you ever have a situation where you're like, they're going to take me out like you were choking, or there was something happening to you where, like, man, this is desperate. I got to get out of this.
Yeah. I mean, again, especially in mainly in chain matches, because that was very, it was a great visual to wrap a chain around a guy's neck or wrap it through his mouth and around his neck or over his eyes or whatever, you know, to make it look more vicious. Right. And so, yeah, there were a couple times in those chain matches that, because the idea is to get your fingers in between your neck and the chain so it doesn't cinch up like it did on the Stinger there in Chicago. So a couple times there, I mean, I think a couple times seeing stars being hit with a metal chair, you know, they're like, it's all fake. Yeah, well, let me hit you in the head with a metal chair, you know, and help you see stars a couple times. You know, now that's not necessarily the intention, but again, things happen. It's not an exact science, right?
It was a tater with a chair.
Tater with a chair. Things happen. And or there's ways you learn to kind of protect yourself and to where, you know, you time it to where you can kind of get your hand up, you know, before your head feels the full impact of the chair so you can kind of break it a little bit, you know, but you still want it to look good, right? and a couple body slams out on a concrete floor where it really does knock the wind out of you, and you're gasping for air, you know, catch my breath here, you know. So there was a handful of times that, yeah, something may have happened there. Yep,
that's awesome. Well, switching gears from wrestling to, you know, what everybody that knows you well knows that obviously the word discipline is in the word disciple. I mean, it just is.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
That to know Nikita is to see that the Lord anointed him. One of the ways that he shows God, in my opinion, is he's a tremendous disciple from a standpoint of discipline. Discipline in the way he eats, discipline in the way he handles his finance, and not... You know, a lot of folks have asked the spiritual disciplines, mm-hmm. but I just thought I'd go to another direction just so we all could learn a little bit, because mm-hmm. I know the value of some of these other things that you've taught, because it really helped me. But so in the discipline of managing money, mm-hmm. right, which you teach at mm-hmm. Man Camp mm-hmm. In the last day for at least a little session there, which mm-hmm. was extremely helpful. What would you say, you know, if you had one thing to tell people as far as the discipline of their money, what discipline would that be that you would say this is the one you need, you know?
Don't. Yeah. Great question. I think it might even have been a devotion I was reading, maybe even this morning. They called it the 10-10-80 plan. Trying to think of who gets credit for it. For me, I would take it even a step further to 10-10-10-70 plan. And too many people live beyond their means, you know, whether it's living off credit cards, or just spending beyond their means, you know, too much month at the end of the money. And so if they could ever get the discipline of scaling back and living off, and the 10-10-10-70 for me is being able to live off 70% of their income, living out, and some are like, there's absolutely no way, but that's not true. There actually is a way. There are plenty of people, including myself, are proof that you can live. And it doesn't matter. You don't have, and you, they're thinking in their mind, Robbie, they're thinking, oh, then I got to make $1 million so I can live off $700,000. No. I mean, you can make $100,000 a year, not $1 million a year, and live off of $70,000. I mean, so they're with discipline. So learning to live below your means, and developing the habits of course, the very first 10 is your tithe, plain and simple. And there may be some out there in listening land that never even heard of that term or know what that even means. Go Google it if you're not familiar with it. But so, you know, it simply means giving 10% back to God because it's all His anyway. And typically that's in the way of your local church, if you're a church attender.
It's really cool. I heard this the other day that... and it really resonated with me. I kind of knew it, but I never grasped it in this word picture that there used to be wine bearers, cup holder, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the idea is if you share the first 10% of your income, this first fruits, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
With right. God.
Right.
He's like saying, okay, now this is good for you. He's taste testing it for you. Say, okay, now you can live on the other because I'm telling you, this is blessed right here. If God blesses the first 10%, mm-hmm. then the other 90% is blessed.
100%. I call it the multiplication effect.
Right.
That in beyond just addition, He can multiply the 90 to go stretch further than the 100% ever could.
Right.
And said, at very rock bottom, man, give 10% back to the Lord. And you know, however God directs you to do that. But, you know, some might say philanthropy and whatever, right? But, so that's 10, another 10. I maybe even combine, I'll just say savings and investing might break down the other 10s. I liked it. So if you live off 70%, you put 10% in savings, 10% in investing, and 10% tithe, then you can actually take that 10% in the investment world and multiply. God can then multiply the investments, show you and direct you where to invest. And then the savings account for me is not saving for a rainy day, but you know, you want to buy a flat screen TV, well, don't go buy it on credit, save. And then once you have enough saved, go pay for cash. And so not enough people are disciplined in the area of finances, which is why so many are in debt and or underwater financially, because they're not disciplined in that area of their life.
Right. And take the time to make out a plan and all that. It was really, really helpful. And he showed a lot of that stuff at Man Camp. It was really, really helpful. So yeah, the other place that, to me, is a little bit unusual compared to most folks that I know that teach disciplines and all sorts of things, is your discipline in fasting. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, Nikita fasts very regularly. Mm-hmm. And so, and I know the spiritual, and I think most people, I hope, have experienced a spiritual fast of some kind. But since I know you're also an expert in health,
mm-hmm.
could you kind of share what your thoughts are on the physical attributes of fasting regularly?
Yeah, because we hear, you know, especially those who are, you know, maybe regular church attenders or on a spiritual journey of their own, you know, in that relationship with Jesus, are at least having some level of understanding, hopefully, of fasting. I mean, it's biblical, right? It's in Matthew chapter 6, and when you give and when you pray and when you fast, you know, not if you give, if you pray, if you fast, when you pray, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. So I just view it as God expects us to do it. So there's certainly the spiritual component to that and all the reasons for that, which we won't go into right now. You go get a book by Mike Bickle called The Rewards of Fasting if you want to know more about the whole biblical spiritual principle side of it. But from a health and wellness standpoint, as a health and wellness guy, yes, there are actually some real physical benefits to not eating. I mean, for one, think about your digestive system and how overworked for a lot of people it really is, because I say overworked because too many people overeat. And so if you consider how many times a day you maybe eat and how many times a day your digestive system, compound that over 70, 80, 90 years, how long you might live. Gosh, what a novel idea to give your digestive system a break for a day or whatever that might look like, and just not make it work over time and having to always be digesting food, but maybe you're just taking in liquids for the day and kind of giving it a break physically. And there are a lot of health benefits to doing that on a regular basis. So even if you weren't doing it for spiritual reasons, man, it can be so healthy and good for you to just take a break every week and give your body a break, give your digestive system a break, and let it kind of cleanse itself. So, yes.
And there, I would even add, from my, you know, that there's some emotional benefits to it, because, as you know, I had the coffee incident, which, you know, when I went to man camp, got all just crazy because
kind of bent out of shape a little bit, but
they wouldn't let me have coffee.
Where's my coffee? So let me just jump in real quick there. So you know, there people here again, you know, our bodies crave things, right? Whether it's a smoker craving nicotine,
right?
A coffee drinker craving caffeine, right? All the teens, interesting, nicotine, caffeine. Anyway, So you find out real quick, you know, just what. You may not even be aware that you have certain addictions until, you know, until you don't have access to certain things like coffee, like you found out at camp, like, no, coffee's just not available today. And you're like, no, I want coffee, right? So,
well, that's how it was. I mean, I was just going to share. And what an eye-opener it is, like how much your body has control over you.
Yes.
And the fact that you feel like you're a fairly disciplined person, you find out, whoa, I've got this bad weakness. And so, you know, from my standpoint, you're really watching my back by helping me get these kind of disciplines to see where you got struggling.
Identify, like, maybe, again, you were unaware that there was maybe even an addiction there, right? Let's just assume you were unaware that there's even an addiction there. And all of a sudden you're enlightened to the fact that, man, I am addicted to coffee, I'm addicted to caffeine, or what, again, fill in the blank, whatever it is, addicted to food.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you do. You find out, just, do you have control of your body, or does your body have control of you? That's really what it boils down to, especially when it comes to eating, right? You'll find the Israelites found that out in wandering in the desert. You know, they were, so, well, at least back in Egypt, we had lentils and we had meat and we had this, you know, and again, yeah, the discipline of taking control over your. I remember a guy by the name of Craig Hill. I've read many of his books, right? He said one time when he first started fasting, like, he's like, because people are like,
not eat. I'm going to starve to death. No, I can't go without a meal or whatever. And he said he when he was first started fasting, he got super hungry, and he's like, I got to eat. And he's like, then he got a grip, and he goes, oh, wait a minute. He goes, I literally started talking to my body. I'm like talking to my stomach going, if you don't stop growling, I'm going to fast an extra day. I'll show you. kind of thing. He goes, and believe it or not, like the growling and the hunger pangs like went away, like disappeared.
It listened.
And he goes, I found out real quick. I control my body. My body does not control me. So, yeah. Great question.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Nikita. I'm glad I got a chance to get my shot in.
Well, and we'll do it again another time. But for those of you out there in listening land, Robbie Dillmore, the Christian Car Guy, go get the Truth Radio app, Truth Network app. Download that. Get to hear one of many of his shows and so many other incredible programs, as well as the Q&A and the Man Up Show. So thanks for tuning in today. Q&A with Koloff. And if you'd like to be on, Koloff.net. I almost forgot. Koloff.net. Just Koloff.net. Shoot me an email. We'll get you on the show. God bless you.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to Koloff.net and donate today. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.